Article 1 of the United States Constitution. From Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. Article 1 of the United States Constitution states the establishment of the legislative branch of the United States government, known as Congress, which includes the House of Representatives and the Senate. The article establishes the manner of election and qualifications of members of each House. In addition, it outlines legislative procedure and enumerates the powers vested in the legislative branch. Finally, it establishes limits on federal and state legislative powers. Each of the first three articles of the Constitution concern one of the three branches of the federal government. The legislative branch is established under Article 1, the executive branch under Article 2, and the judicial branch under Article 3. Article 1 is the longest of the seven articles, forming the original text of the United States Constitution. Amendments to Article 1, unlike amendments to other articles, are explicitly restricted by the Constitution. For example, no amendment made prior to 1808 could affect the first and fourth clauses of Section 9. The first clause prevented Congress from prohibiting the slave trade until 1808. The fourth barred any direct taxes that were not apportioned among the states according to population. Furthermore, the Constitution precludes Congress from depriving a state of equal representation in the Senate without the state's consent. Section 1. The Congress. Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. The vesting clause grants all legislative authority to the Congress. While many states allow for popular referenda, this section allows only Congress and not the people directly to make statutes. Vesting clauses are found in Articles 2 and 3 as well, and differ in respect to the branch of government concerned. The Constitution thereby establishes the principle of separation of powers, whereby no branch may exercise powers that properly belong to another. For instance, the executive may not enact laws. The principle that Congress cannot delegate legislative authority to other branches of government, specifically the executive, is known as the non-delegation doctrine. However, the Supreme Court has ruled that Congress does have latitude to delegate regulatory powers to executive agencies as long as it provides an intelligible principle. Section 2, the House of Representatives. Section 2 establishes the House of Representatives. The House is often referred to as the lower house of Congress. The phrase reflects similar terminology employed when referring to the two houses of the British Parliament, the Upper House of Lords and the Lower House of Commons. But the powers of the House of Representatives are roughly equivalent to that of the Senate. The House of Representatives has the sole power to originate revenue bills, while the Senate has powers relating to the approval of treaties and nominations made by the President. Section 2, Clause 1, Term and Electors. Section 2. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. Section 2 provides for the election of the House of Representatives every second year by the people. Whenever vacancies occur, the governor of the state is required to issue writs of election calling a special election. The Constitution does not spell out qualifications for voters. Rather, it provides that those qualified to vote in elections for the larger chamber of a state's legislature may vote in congressional elections as well. Amendments to the Constitution, however, have restricted the state's ability to set such restrictions. The 15th Amendment, the 19th Amendment, and the 24th Amendment bar the use of race, sex, or payment of a tax as qualifications to vote in both federal and state elections. Furthermore, the 26th Amendment provides that states may not set age requirements higher than 18 years. Section 2. Clause 2. Qualifications. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained to the age of 25 years and have been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. The Constitution provides that a representative must be 25 years old and an inhabitant of the state in which they are elected, and must have been a citizen of the United States for the previous 7 years. There is no requirement that a representative reside within the district he represents. In practice, this is usually the case, but there have been occasional exceptions. Section 2, Clause 3, Apportionment. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for a term of years and excluding Indians not taxed, 3/5 of all other persons. The actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States, and within every subsequent term of 10 years, in such manner as they shall by law direct. The number of representatives shall not exceed 1 for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least 1 representative, and until such enumeration shall be made, the state of New Hampshire shall be entitled to choose 3, Massachusetts 8, Rhode Island and Providence Plantations 1, Connecticut 5, New York 6, New Jersey 4, Pennsylvania 8, Delaware 1, Maryland 6, Virginia 10, North Carolina 5, South Carolina 5, and Georgia 3. The number of representatives for each state depends on its population, but each state is entitled to at least 1 representative. The population of a state originally included all free persons, 3/5 of other persons, and excluded untaxed Native Americans. While the humanity of slaves was certainly compromised by this arrangement, its intention was to limit the political power of slaveholding states by reducing their share of the House of Representatives. The 14th Amendment changed this provision by removing the 3/5 clause. Slavery had been abolished following the Civil War. There are at present no untaxed Native Americans, so all persons inhabiting a state, whether voters or not, count towards the population of that state. The Constitution mandated that a census be conducted every 10 years to determine the populations of the states. The Constitution provided for the temporary apportionment of seats until a census could be conducted. Under Section 2, the amount of direct taxes that may be collected from any state was tied directly to its share of representatives. On the basis of this requirement, the income tax was found unconstitutional in 1895, as it was not apportioned among the states. Writing for the Supreme Court, Chief Justice Melville Fuller dismissed precedent to the contrary as a century of error. To permit the levying of an income tax, the Congress proposed and the states soon ratified the 16th Amendment, which removed the requirement that income taxes be apportioned among the states. Section 2, Clause 4, Vacancies. When vacancies happen in the representation from any state, the executive authority thereof shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies. Section 2, Clause 4, provides that when vacancies occur in the House of Representatives, it is not the job of the House of Representatives to arrange for a replacement, but the job of the state whose vacant seat is up for refilling. The original qualifications and procedures for holding that election are still valid, which means that each state will have a potentially unique method of choosing a replacement representative. Section 2, Clause 5, Speaker, Other Officers, and Impeachment. The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers, and shall have the sole power of impeachment. Section 2 further provides that the House of Representatives may choose its speaker and its other officers. Though the Constitution does not mandate it, every speaker has been a member of the House of Representatives. Finally, Section 2 grants to the House of Representatives the sole power of impeachment. Impeachments are tried in the Senate. The power of the House of Representatives to impeach was modeled upon the like power of the British House of Commons. Section 3, The Senate. Section 3 establishes the Senate. As noted above, the Senate is often referred to as the upper house of Congress, though both chambers are roughly equal in terms of power bestowed by the Constitution. Nevertheless, as there are far fewer senators than representatives, and since senators serve for longer terms, the average senator tends to be more influential than his or her counterpart in the other body. Senators sometimes implicitly asserted especially in the chamber's early history, that theirs was the superior House of Congress, though such a claim had no explicit constitutional basis. For instance, after assembling in 1789, the Senate unsuccessfully attempted to adopt a procedure for communication between the two houses that would indicate the Senate's alleged superiority. The Senate desired to send its messages to the House through a mere clerk, at the same time desiring that House messages be communicated by two representatives who would have had to make obeisance when entering and leaving the Senate chamber. Unsurprisingly, the House rejected this proposal. Section 3, Clause 1, Composition and Selection. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have one vote. Section 3 provides that each state is entitled to two senators, chosen for a term of 6 years. The state legislatures originally chose the senators. Legislatures could authorize the state's governor to make temporary appointments to fill vacancies that arose while the legislature was in recess. The 17th Amendment, however, now provides for the direct election of senators by their respective states' voters. This was seen as a move toward a more democratic society, but changed the political balance of power as it deprived the states of direct representation to the federal government. Under this amendment, states may still authorize their governors to make temporary appointments of senators to fill vacancies, but only until a special election to choose a permanent replacement. Section 3, Clause 2, Classes of Senators and Vacancies. Immediately after they shall be assembled in consequence of the first election, they shall be divided as equally as may be into three classes. The seats of the senators of the first class shall be vacated at the expiration of the second year, of the second class at the expiration of the fourth year, and of the third class at the expiration of the sixth year, so that one-third may be chosen every second year, and if vacancies happen by resignation or otherwise during the recess of the legislature of any state, the executive thereof may make temporary appointments until the next meeting of the legislature, which shall then fill such vacancies. Clause 2 was designed to ensure that there would never be a period of time when the Senate could not assemble for a session, and would permit the gradual alteration of the Senate along political lines parallel to that of the House of Representatives. As originally established, senators were elected by the legislature of the state they represented in the Senate. If a senator died, resigned, or was expelled, the legislature of the state would appoint a replacement to serve out the remainder of the senator's term. If the legislature was not in session, the governor could appoint a temporary replacement to serve until the legislature could elect a permanent replacement. This was all changed by clauses 2 and 3 of the 17th Amendment. Amendment 17, Clause 2. When vacancies happen in the representation of any state in the Senate, the executive authorities of each state shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies, provided that the legislature of any state may empower the executive thereof to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies by election, as the legislature may direct. Amendment 17, Clause 3. This amendment shall not be so construed as to affect the election or term of any senator chosen before it becomes valid as part of the Constitution. This set of changes addressed the issue of the change to popular election of senators and leaves it up to the state legislature whether or not the vacancies will be filled by election. Often, when a senator dies in office and is married, the spouse of the deceased senator is appointed to fill out the deceased senator's term. This usually places that spouse first in line in any primary election or caucus to fill that seat at the next Senate elections. Section 3, Clause 3, Qualifications. No person shall be a senator who shall not have attained to the age of 30 years and been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state for which he shall be chosen. This means that a senator need not be a natural-born citizen, as the president and vice president must be, although it is rare for naturalized citizens to be elected senators. However, a senator must be at least 30 years of age, must be a citizen of the United States for at least 9 years prior to winning election, and must reside in the state he/she will represent at the time of winning election. Section 3, Clause 4, Vice President as Presiding Official. The Vice President of the United States shall be President of the Senate, but shall have no vote unless they be equally divided. Section 3 provides that the Vice President is to serve as President of the Senate. The Vice President has no vote unless the Senate is equally divided. Further information, U.S. Vice President's tie-breaking votes. Section 3, Clause 5, President pro tempore and other Senate officers. The Senate shall choose their other officers, and also a president pro tempore in the absence of the vice president, or when he shall exercise the office of the President of the United States. The Senate may elect a president pro tempore to act in the vice president's absence. The president pro tempore is by convention a senator, though there is no such constitutional requirement. Other Senate officers include the chairs and ranking officers of committees. the majority leader, the minority leader, the majority whip, and the minority whip. Section 3, Clause 6, Impeachment Trials. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. When sitting for that purpose, they shall be on oath or affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of 2/3 of the members present. The Senate is granted the sole power to try impeachments, just as the House of Lords could try impeachments in Great Britain. The senators must sit on oath or affirmation, unlike the lords who voted upon their honor. The Chief Justice presides whenever the President is tried, presumably because the Vice President would have a conflict of interest. A 2/3 supermajority is required to convict. Section 3, Clause 7, Impeachment Judgments. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States, but the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to law. If an executive officer is convicted on impeachment, he or she is immediately removed from office, but the Senate may choose not to remove a judicial officer. The Senate decided, when considering the impeachment of Senator William Blount, that members of Congress may not be tried on impeachment. The Senate also may disqualify the defendant from holding any public office in the future. No other punishments may be inflicted, but the impeached party remains liable to trial and punishment in the courts. Section 4, Elections and Meetings. Section 4 provides for the selection of members of Congress and for their meetings. Section 4, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof, but the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations, except as to the places of choosing senators. The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year, and such meeting shall be on the first Monday in December, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. While states may regulate the times, places, and manner of holding congressional elections, the Congress may make or amend regulations, except for those relating to the place of choosing senators, as the state legislatures originally elected senators. Congress is therefore permitted to establish a single uniform date for congressional elections. Congress designated the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November. The wording was adopted so as to preclude November 1st, the Roman Catholic holiday, All Saints' Day, from being the date of the election. Furthermore, Section 4 requires that Congress must assemble at least once each year. The meeting was to be on the first Monday in December, unless otherwise provided by law. Elections were held in November, and the representatives and senators sworn in March. The December session between those 2 months, therefore, was not of the newly elected Congress. Rather, it was of the lame duck Congress. While the Constitution grants Congress the authority to meet on a different day without the need to pass an amendment, nevertheless, the 20th Amendment adjusted congressional terms and requires the newly elected representatives and senators to meet and take office on January 3rd of the year following the election. Again, Congress may change the date of meeting by law.